101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Foundation with Heart Grants is brought to you by Alive, Baja Retreat and Spa, Commonwealth Bank, J.S. Johnson, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is so good to be in your company today. It is Thursday, and it's a wonderful thing to be in the land of the living. Let me tell you why. Every Thursday, we know that we look into the papers, and we recognize that it's a little bit thicker, right? It's a little bit thicker with our brothers and sisters who have passed away. So make sure that you pick up your Guardian today and kind of check that out. And also, I want to thank the persons that continue to be able to kind of support us. You know that today is Small Business Thursday. And on Small Business Thursday, that's what we do. We sort of take our time out to really have a good conversation about the businesses that exist in this space. Today, I have two things that we're going to be highlighting for you. And it's more not necessarily constructed or designed to be able to just talk about what their businesses do, but the impact that it can make in the community and sort of the reformation that it makes. Today, we're going to be talking about a music school for my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Rowe. He's going to be talking to us about his music school. And also, we're getting a call all the way from California to talk about, watch this, medicinal cannabis. But before we get into that, I want to thank all the sponsors and all those persons that continue to be able to talk to us and sponsor the show. I get in calls left, right, and center on a daily basis. And they're saying to me, Howard, we're just so happy to be able to be a part of this. We want to be able to be with you for the long term. We want to do some things. And more specifically, I want to be able to thank my good friend, Mr. Douglas, Greg Douglas, from Devanya's. Right? He is truly amazing. I want you guys to go down to Prince Charles and check him out. He's always doing his little tasting on the weekend with all the different flavors and the tests and whatnot. I'm sure that he's going to give us more information about that, but it's Devanya's. Make sure that you check out Devanya's. And those other persons that continue to sponsor us, the Mobile Garage, I thank you so very kindly for being able to participate in this. I'm looking for, we got some commitments. I want to call you guys names for being able to do some stuff. But once we formalize everything, you know, I want to be able to kind of hoot and holler about your support over the years and continue to be able to kind of move with us. I also want to be able to thank my very, 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 very good friends down there at Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematorium. Every time I think about them, every time we talk about them, especially on Thursdays, I always think about the fact that this kind of transition that happens, you want it to be done with sort of decency and order. And that kind of decency comes from persons who've been in the game, in the business for a very long time. So you can definitely check my good friends out, Butler's Funeral Homes and Crematoriums, down there on East Bay Street. They can be able to assist you with a plethora of things. The environment is warm. It has those staples in it that is cultural. And you know exactly what you're getting with these particular persons. They are absolutely wonderful. Go check out my good friends down there, Clarice Butler and the others that are down there. Hopefully we do something real soon together and really talk about them. And sidebar, shouts out to Butler's Legacy. I see you guys kicked off a podcast. You didn't invite me. Talk to me. You didn't invite Howard. I look like y'all. You might as well just let me come in and play. Everybody go on now. So people say, excuse me, you're a butler? I tell you, my mother was getting sworn in 2007. We were walking on Bay Street. My father, my uncle, myself, three big guys, we're walking down Bay Street, dressed, you know, dapper dawn. We're doing our thing, walking down Bay Street, headed east, right, towards the House of Assembly. I think we passed. It must have been John Bull. But anyway, so we're passing, and this lady steps up on the bench. Now, you know, everybody during this time getting sworn in had their political colors on. And so this older lady, she steps up, adorned in her PLP paraphernalia with her little pom-poms. And she stands up and she stops me. So she said, baby. So I said, yes, ma'am. So she said, you as a butler? So I said, no, ma'am. I'm not a butler. I'm a Grant. Right? So she said, you sure? I said, yes, ma'am. So my daddy looked at me and he looked at the lady, right? So, so I'm like, based upon what I know, yes, ma'am. So she said, go ask your mommy again, baby. Your daddy don't know, right? So my daddy laugh. We laughing, right? And I said, okay, ma'am, I will do that, right? So I might just tell you right now, the people that identify me everywhere I go in Nassau, only because you know me now halfway, you call me Grant. But when I came here, everybody and their ma called me butler. So I just want to say that to you. And that's why I'm, I always had this sort of affection. In the House of Assembly, if you remember, Loretta Butler and my mother, Verna Grant, they looked like sisters. I mean, they was always decked out, always dapper, always absolutely gorgeous and graceful in everything that they did. So I don't know. I feel like we are family somewhere down the line. And I'm always happy to kind of do that. And listen, Howard, you're looking for family. Behave yourself. Calm down. That's not what this is. I'm just happy to kind of be able to do that and identify some good people who we gravitate towards. So check them out. I'd like to do some more things with Butler's Funeral Homes. I'd like to do some more things with Milo Butler and Son. I see you guys are doing some wonderful stuff. We take this time out to kind of talk about those things. You're doing some stuff in Grand Bahama. That's my home. If you want to be able to talk about that and spread that out to our wonderful audience, please give me a call and we can kind of put something together for you guys and make something happen. I'm so happy to be here in this space with you guys today. There's some things happening in the paper. Now, we ain't come to talk about this today. That's not what we're here for. But it's just an amazing thing to see the things that are happening in the paper. I see that the Free National Movement has taken a very aggressive step. Right. Is today political day? No, let's leave this for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. It's sort of a laid-back Friday. We're going to have good conversation and sort of break these things down. Let's do that, right? But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, whoa. I think Pintard, somebody put a battery in his back. He's ready to go. And in politics, is always the opportune time to kind of get in there. And we've seen a shift in the landscape for sort of the enthusiasm and moving behind the now prime minister. So just give it time. In due time and due season, there would come a position or a space where a person sort of move away from you. That's just what it is. That's just the landscape. You can't satisfy everyone in the country. And so we want to be able to say that we're watching. We're watching. And we're waiting with bated breath. Because I, based upon what I've seen in the POP's first term, rather this New Day administration's first term, I would have been one of the first persons to say, maybe in the first 6 months, I said, maybe, just maybe, we could be able to break the curse of one administration every 5 years, a changing administration every 5 years. Just maybe this administration will be able to do it. And I don't know if I talk too soon, because there is relentless agitation against this administration at this particular time. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about that tomorrow and kind of dive into that and dive into these particular stories. I want to do some stories about corruption. In fact, I'm going to do some stories about corruption. Let's get out of the month of love. We're going to make the entire first 2 weeks of March about corruption. We're going to identify those things. So that's be our Lent. For Lent, as we get into that, we're going to talk about corruption. We're going to have local and international persons come on and talk about how corruption is a relentless cancer that erodes the environment and the structure, the vision, the passion that exists in these particular spaces, because it's an exhausting thing. everywhere we go, there's a conversation about why things are happening. And the only thing is that it's only happening because corruption exists. So I won't have those conversations. But before we do any of that, before we get into any of those things, I want to say to you, today is Small Business Thursday. That's just what it is. Today is Small Business Thursday. I have my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Rose, going to be calling in today to talk about those things. So I don't want to sway the conversation into politics. We know that we've identified Thursdays as Small Business Thursdays. And if you have a small business, I want to say this to you. I don't know if you can believe me, but you can attest to this. If you're listening and you're out there and you participated in Small Business Thursday, every single person that participated in Small Business Thursday has whatever investment that they made, they reap the investment within the week. And this ain't even prophetic. I have no cloak on. Let's just be very clear, right? Let's be very clear, all right? Every single person that invested into Small Business Thursday, even those persons that called into the show, I don't know what your indifference is. I don't know what your stenching is. Why are you stenching and pulling back from this thing? Every single person that participated in Small Business Thursday yielded an investment within 5 to 7 days. It's happening. When persons hear about the products that you offer, please, Mr. Bodie, call me and tell me how much cake you sell from Platinum Pastries. Please, call me and tell me. Feeney, please call me and tell me how much shirts you sold and neckties you gave away as a result of hearing it. I know K.S. Moses was here. Please tell me about it. Mr. Humes called in and did some stuff with us just off the blue, off the cuff. Called it on the radio. We gave him 2 seconds to talk about it. He talked about his termite stuff. Called me that night and said, Grant, I sold 3 gallons. This is an amazing thing. This is how we find ourselves being able to see an expansion in our communities from business perspective. We've been giving our monies away to foreigners for a long time. Now, this is not me rejecting any foreigners. That's not what this is. This is not me saying, let's not go here, let's not go there, let's not do these things. But this is only me taking on a prideful position and sort of an assertive position, a focused position to talk about local small businesses. That's just what it is. Rasta, my good friend Bobo down in the front of Flamingo. Oh, well, I'm supposed to do some business with you. I know you're listening to me right now. Talk to me. Stop it. Behave yourself. You're supposed to come do some things, but you're selling so much fruits, you're wilding out, right? These are people that I go to on a day-to-day basis. If I've done business with you, don't be offended if I ask you, hey, listen, would you like to do some business with me? That's just what it is. I think this is one of those things, this hand-go-hand-come. Is that what it is? This hand-go-hand-come thing. I'm content with being able to help you however I can. And I'm sure I'm not just saying I'm looking for money. Of course, that's what I'm doing. But nonetheless, I'm in this position to help you the best I possibly can. I'm guaranteeing you, investing into Small Business Thursday will afford you an opportunity to be able to see your business expand almost instantaneously. Give me a call. If you don't believe me, I gave a couple of people a trial. I said, just give me a little trial. And we're finding out that these people are making crazy waves. So you'll soon start hearing some commercials from Small Business Thursdays. You'll soon start hearing some commercials from Platinum Pastries. All those persons are invested in being able to do this. This is a small investment. I'm telling you right now, the sales department keeps calling me and saying, Howard, are you crazy? You're shooting yourself in the foot. This is prime time slot. Why would you do this? Why are you giving these rates away? Are you crazy, Howard? I'm telling you. This is what the people say. I said, well, let's just try it for 3 months. Let's see how it works for 3 months. If it doesn't work, if we ain't doing nothing, then we can just shut it down. They say, Howard, but these rates are crazy. People are going to buy it like hotcakes. So they're doing their best to give you the structured concept of what exists. But if you call them and say, hey, listen, I want to get into Small Business Thursday. That's what it is. The rates are amazing. It's prime time. It's a prime time slot. People right now eating the hamburger, hot dog, crack conch, whatever you're eating, you turn it on to the radio. This is what happens in the rhythm of our society. Boom. You put your product right there. That going, we can sell that today. 827-0111. 827-0111. Good day, Howard. What do we do to speak about our small business on your show? Call in and speak for a short period? No. That's not, you need to stop it. That's you. what you doing? No. All right. Call me 827-0111, or I can give you a number of someone within the sales department, or, you know, just call 302-2300 in our sales department and set yourself up formally. What we do is we have a space that we do a formal commercials for you. So we make a commercial for you. We give you good rotations with the commercials. We give you a 15-minute interview. You can either call in or come into the studio to talk about your product. We give you that time to kind of come in and talk about what you do, talk about the history of what you've done and all these things. And once you do that, boom, you could be able to see those things. Because I like to know about why you started this business, right? I like to know about those things. I like to know about these ideas. There's one person who I'm really trying to get to tell you her story. She was working in the hotel for years. And the last time Mino had a good conversation down there at the fish fry, right in front of Willie's. Willie, I'm waiting on you. Willie D, I am waiting on you. Eddie, I'm waiting on you. Goldie, I'm waiting on you. Jim, I'm waiting on you. These are my people from fish fry. Down at the Kong Pearl, I'm waiting on you guys. Jess Grill. My wife carried me to Jess Grill under the dock a few times. You know, we from Grand Bahama, 8 Mile Rock more specifically. And we have, great grilled conch and stuff like that right there at Sunset Village in 8 Mile Rock. And I hadn't really been able to revisit that for a long time. When I went to Jess Grill, amazing stuff. Right under the dock, right? Right under the bridge. Hey, I'm waiting on you guys. I am waiting on you to talk about these things. Bobby, I'm waiting on you down there at Montague. You in yellow, you tell me he's going to do something with me. Let the people know about the grouper. Let the people know about all these great fish. You got yellow snapper, red snapper, everything. Gray. You got mutton, hogfish. This is where we go on Sundays after church. I go down to Bobby on Sunday after church. We grab an old-fashioned conch salad. Listen to me. Absolutely wonderful stuff. And we just want to talk about it, man. I want to take on the time to talk about your guys' business because it's almost like I want persons to know, let's get back into the community. That's just what it is. There are great places. The Punch Place right there at Montague, when we turn the curb, we sit there sometimes and have some conch fritters and good conversations with a nice fruit punch juice and being able to do those things. This is the community that I come from. That's what it is, man. If we're reminded of what exists in the communities, then we can start to engage the community again. It makes no sense us being scared. It makes no sense you having those things packed up in your suit, in your back trunk, hoping to God that somebody fall in your car to buy it. That don't work like that. Invest in your product. And let's get back to the community that we know, that we love. Let's do that. Please give Howard Grant a call at 827-0111, 827-0111 to invest in these particular things. Guys, I want to take this quick commercial break, but to get this back to the very first conversation that we're going to be able to have with Ambassador Devin Rowe. He's going to talk to us about his business, his music school, and then we're going to talk about that for a little while. I want you guys to be a part of the conversation also. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, or 422-4796. That's a text line. Please, listen, it's Small Business Thursdays, baby. Small Business Thursdays. This is where you get your product off the shelves and your service in their hearts. Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be right back after this.
The Foundation.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT.
tea.
Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, The Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at The Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic, and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful Thursday. Great day to be in the land of the living. I think after Wednesday, Thursday comes and you feel like the weekend's here. But for me, in many ways, over the years, Thursday has always been a day of reflection, especially when we look in the newspaper to see all our loved ones pass away. I come from hanging out with old people, man. I hang with my grandma all the time, and she sort of talks to us about these things. So I just want to kind of do that and make these things happen, right? So we're going to have good conversation about it. But, you know, for me, it's just a little bit of reflection. And, you know, late night, my grandma had me sitting up watching Channel 40 all night. Jesus, Lord. I don't know. I start doing it right now. My kids look at me like I'm crazy. What are you doing, Daddy? I don't know. I guess I get older. I don't know. Right? Guys, it's Thursday. It's Small Business Thursday. And we're really talking about these things. Don't take it for granted, man. Maybe you're just a consumer. Maybe you're just one of those persons who want to just buy, consume. That's fine. That's no problem. We know that we're major consumers. But if you have a small aspiration, an idea, an inclination that you want to kind of move into business and do some stuff, you know what to do with. You know what to do it with. You know who to do it with, rather. Come check me out, man. Let's talk about your business. Talk about these particular things. I got a call last week from my very good friend. You know that we had him on to talk about some things from the church perspective, talk about a community thing. Really wanted to be able to get him, both him and his lovely wife in the studio, to really talk about some stuff as we move towards deeper into Lover's Month. So we want to be able to do some stuff and kind of get some things in there. I'm thinking that he's still on the line. Did you just text me and say the line busy again? Hopefully this is him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me see if I can go to this line now. Is this him? This is my guy? Right? Right. Ambassador Devin Roll. Ambassador, you on with me? You on with me, my brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing today, man?
All is good, Alex.
You know, I always like when you're in the studio with me, but today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. You have a music school. Now, let me tell you what. A lot of persons, when I say, no, man, I'm hanging out with, I'm going over to Devin's church tonight, or I'm hanging out with Devin, I'm going to see Devin, I'm on the phone with Devin, right? Ambassador right. Devin Rowe. They say, oh, you mean Denzel? Or you mean another one who was doing music? Eh? You mean so we know that music is in your family. We know that music is something that you guys do. You've been known for this for some time, but you've taken it to another level. You've taken it to a position where you teach it now. Tell me about your music school.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having us on, Howard. Great to be on the show again. And let me commend you for this effort. I think it is wonderful what you're doing. We're seeking to give platform to small businesses in the country. It has long been said that the biggest economic engine in the country is that of the small businesses. So let me say thank you and kudos to you for this effort. Well, most people, well, nowadays they know me from being this guy who preaches and speaks on the radio, but I've most of my life been known as the music guy. Been playing instruments in church from the age of 7. Been teaching people music from I was like maybe 13, 14. And then in 1996, I started the gospel group called Barak, which blew up like literally instantly. Within 6 weeks, we recorded our first song, Nothing But Mercy, which a lot of people would know because it played on the secular and gospel stations. And then 6 months after that, we had our first full album. Well, within that same 1996 period, when we started, we all had this desire to really go full-time in music. And for years, we were strategizing on how to make that happen. Well, when I came back from university in 99, I think about just a different couple of years after, was to start a music school. And the idea was that it was going to be to help with the development of musicians, because as a musician myself, I would normally get calls every weekend to, can you play in our church? 3, 4, 5, 6 different places. And I can't split myself up into 6. So the idea came, why not start a school and offer to train people? So from 2003, we launched the Barak School of Music, and we have been training the next generation of musicians now for 2 decades.
You can hear me? Go ahead.
Hello. Yep.
Yeah, so you've been doing that for 2 decades now?
For 2 decades, yes, sir.
How is it? What kind of contribution do you get? I mean, can I say this? I don't know whether or not there is rich enthusiasm among a great deal of our young people. I only got 2. I mean, young people.
Right.
So I can't really gauge an entire generation from these 2.
Right.
But if it's any inclination, they kind of move with the rhythm of society. They like, oh, these things are popular now. What kind of enthusiasm and contribution do you get for young people moving towards that?
Well, that's a very good question. Back in my day, like what I offer now didn't exist. The kind of environment that we provide to teach music, if you didn't get some level of music introduction inside school, the only other place really where you got it was if you got close enough to the musicians in church, because musicians weren't usually that available to share knowledge like that. And so I'm saying that to say this. I think in earlier days there was greater enthusiasm to try to get involved in music. However, and it's still there, but with the dawn of technology that is at now, music learning has competition because everybody's on their phones, on their gadgets. And so there is, in some quarters, the interest, because especially with marching bands, through bands like the All-Star and the Junkanoo, a lot of people are getting back into really horn blowing. That's kind of exciting for young people now. But there is the desire starting to come back over the pandemic and Dorian, the last 4 years have, but I'm seeing the interest starting to pick back up.
Well, I wanted to ask you that because I know, like I said, young people, what I've noticed is that they move with the rhythm of society. So there's just sort of this enthusiasm about what YouTube can yield for you, what YouTube can offer to you. They're looking at the devices and they're looking and they're saying, oh my God, I can't believe this person making $1.2 million. I could do a song like that. My God. And so you see them on their devices moving towards that. I just wanted to know whether or not your school can be able to help enhance that, or are you marketing strategically to be able to do those particular things? Because if we got singers out there, if we got drummers, if we got these particular persons, Junior Junkanoo being today, which is weird, but nonetheless, Junior Junkanoo being today, my kids ain't sleeping 3 days, which is wild for me. They pace it that, they're excited. My son is on the tom-toms, on the bass. He's doing all these particular things. My daughter, she's excited about the fact that she's going to be a marshal, and they're out to Junior Junkanoo today. But they want to do more. What did the Barak School of Music offer that they can kind of come in there and do that?
Okay, well, we offer basically all of the musical instruments that pertains to the band, the marching band, and also the what you call like the gig band, the keyboards, the bass, the lead, the horn instruments. All of it is done there. And in recent times, we took on a bold challenge. We're now offering cello and harp lessons. We got a few students doing that now who are doing extremely well. Coming in, you know, in the country, a lot of people you see playing instruments, a lot of them do it by ear. So what we have to do in the school environment is show them the benefits of actually learning the theory behind the instrument as well. And I think a lot of them are surprised when they realize that you're stronger for understanding how to read to your instruments. And truth be told, young people are excited about anything that gives them a platform. And so, and that would explain why your children are so excited about this opportunity that they have. They're going to be on stage, so to speak.
They're really excited about it. So I'm reading your stuff, and it says that you've done workshop sessions over the years, and 2,000 students came through our doors. Over these two decades, 2,000 students.
Yes.
Man, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, and I'm able to give you those statistics out because I just recently did it for our summer recital last year, and I was kind of amazed myself to realize that we've been doing this for 20 years and that amount of students have passed through the doors. The big surge in students normally come during the summer camp time where we can see as many as 50, sometimes maybe a little more, students who come, and it's a really, I would call it miraculous time because in 6 weeks, we often take students who know nothing about a musical instrument, and we train them every day for about, it goes from about 9 to 2 o'clock, and within 6 weeks, we put them on stage, and they're performing on sometimes two or three instruments in front of their parents, family, and friends.
Wow. I must commend you, man, for your commitment and being able to offer this. I want to know whether or not your children, those young people, and I'm sure that it's just not for children. If you're an older person and they want to be able to learn something, I'm sure that you offer opportunities for them also.
Yeah, we offer lessons for adults as well. I brag about the fact that my oldest student to date was 88 years old when he came and signed up.
For which instrument?
He came and signed up for the piano. What had happened
so
was his wife had... So I said, say it again, please.
I say there's still hope. There's still hope for me.
Oh, definitely, definitely. his wife had recently passed, and he said from a child he always wanted to play an instrument, and I'm about the chance, and he was like he was posturing, like he was begging me if I would consider as a son, it would be my delight. And we taught him lessons for a couple months.
You set that up kind of weird for me. His wife passed, and then he decided after his wife passed. My God, this is the time now. She ain't here. She can't stop me.
No. Well, I think it's that he was saying, man, I have time on my hand now, so let me go back and do something I never got a chance to do.
Really? Man, really? Tell me about these 2,000 students, though. Tell me whether or not their aspirations has taken them to an international stage. You know, some people want to be able to go to off to the United States of America. When you start to talk about the cello, when you start to talk about these things, we know that there is always sort of this aspirations to go higher. Do you have any students that pursue more? Talk to me about it.
Music is an incredible gift. And if you put... And I say this to students because there are two things. People think that you have to be naturally born with the gift to do music. Not necessarily so. If a person is naturally gifted, they learn very, very quickly, which was my case because at 7, my teacher didn't want to take me on. My mother pleaded with her. She took me on. And after a few weeks, she literally was calling people to hear me play because she was amazed at how I could hear chord changes so easily. I see the same thing in my son. He has the same gift. There are people who are born naturally with the gift of music. However, music is something that can be learned via discipline as well. If you have the focus and the mind to really lock down, you can become a very, very good musician. Now, a couple of benefits there is that a lot of people don't know this. Even right here in this country, a lot of international weddings happen in the country, and there are a lot of people who are always looking for musicians to play at these events. I think we're one of the number one wedding destinations in the world. A lot of people don't know that. And they're always looking for somebody to play a violin or to play a sax or to play an acoustic guitar. And in addition to that, if you've got a musical skill, it opens scholarship opportunities for you overseas. And in many cases, you know, we do the church thing. A lot of our students go away and they end up playing for churches or getting gigs. And this helps them with their college situation. So tremendous opportunities. And then there's some people who don't want to do it for career. They just do it because they want an extra skill. They want to be able to do it for family opportunities, like sitting around the Christmas tree singing carols. Somebody can pick up a guitar and play. The benefits are tremendous. And I just showed a video to my school, to the parents and teachers. Music, what music does for the brain is incredible, because it is said that there are three main activities that you can do to keep the brain alive and help to avoid Alzheimer's setting in. Those three things are learning a musical instrument, practicing mathematical equations, and doing a lot of crossword puzzles. It keeps the brain sharp, that part of the brain that normally goes to sleep as you get older.
Mm. You really sparked my interest in these things. I always wanted to kind of play the keyboard over the years. And
that's too late.
I think life is all-consuming, right? This pursuit and this idea for you to kind of get some things. But you're saying to me that it's not too late. And I don't want, you know, I don't need to be like the best, but I just want to be able to touch it and do some stuff. I always felt like I could do it, right? My daddy told me, he bought me one when I was like 9. And I do absolute garbage with that. I never did it.
Let me ask you something. Was that Ruby Ann Darling you had on a few days ago?
I did. And she told me about her daddy. He told me, in 90 days, you better learn to play the organ.
let me ask you a question. How do you know her age?
No, she told me she was born in the 40s. So I know that she's well over 70, almost 80 right now.
I only asked you that because I remember you interviewing her and complimenting her memory recall. And when you did I was supposed to tell you.
Let me tell you something. What
she's
is
a musician.
Watch me. Watch me. What is crazy, as I was talking to her, now I didn't say this, I'll say this to you and everyone who's listening. What is crazy is that there's two things that stood out for me in the conversation with her.
Mm-hmm.
One, the way that she could vividly remember some of the even minute details of these particular stories that blew my mind, right?
But
I said, there's two things that causes her to remember. Is mm-hmm. her faith in a mission. She's always put this purpose before her. So her faith
yes.
has been a forerunner for these things. And her music memory. The ability
yes,
to kind of remember these things. That's two things. It's crazy that you picked that up. It's crazy.
Yes, I did.
Right?
Yes, I did.
I assessed the conversation after, and I said, it only could be faith and sort of this thing that you apply yourself, because I know other persons who would have worked off the people job, right? They work mm-hmm. and work, and as soon as they stop working, their memory drifts, right? Because
that's
they never did anything for themselves.
Yeah, that's usually when Alzheimer's steps in, when people stop working.
That is crazy that you said that.
Because the brain isn't challenged anymore. You just go into a mundane existence. And so without that challenge happening, that part of the brain goes to sleep.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, along with your ginkgo galooba, right? Because you got to take that, right? Along with your ginkgo galooba,
right?
Along with your zinc and your all your other vitamins, your minerals, and all those particular things, you got to
right.
find yourself to keep yourself occupied. For me,
right.
it has been, I do a lot of math. I do crossword puzzles all the time. I'm always
yep.
in my phone kind of doing that, right? But
yep.
I need to be able to be sharp as we go into the future. And if you're
mm-hmm.
saying to me that music and music memory can yep. be one of those things, you may see me soon. Tell me about how I can be able to be a part of that. Give me your numbers. Give me your location. Give me your stuff.
All right. Well, our number is 323-5907. It's 323-5907. And we're located on East Avenue and Rosetta Street. That's the mustard and white two-story building just to the east of Robert's Furniture. For years, people know it for the motorbikes and the dance school upstairs. So we're downstairs. And we're there from 10 to like 7 every day. So you can call us during those hours And we'll be glad to receive your calls and be a part of your musical journey.
What's one of the things that has been very popular for the school in terms of what you push more? Does more person come for keys? Does more person come for drums, guitar, bass? What is it?
Young guys love drums. They like the noise factor and the keyboard, because a lot of churches and bands, and really the main thing I started the school for was really for the keyboard, because when it comes, especially for the churches, a lot of the modern churches don't have keyboard players, or even if they have a musician at all, they only have one. So a lot of ministries are kind of held back in the music area because they don't have sufficient keyboard players. So keyboard is a big thing, and the younger students, the younger they bring them in, the more they want to play drums. So those two main instruments are the big sellers.
Well, my brother, I want to thank you so much for being able to take the time today to really talk about that. I really enjoyed this. You blew my mind. I didn't say this to anybody. You know, some things I don't say on the radio, but I say it to my wife. Because I always people out here think like Howard crazy, right? Like Howard ain't really crazy. I ain't crazy, but I just some things just pop out of my head. Wow, this woman, how she can remember all these things like this, right? My grandmother, she is celebrating this year. She'll be celebrating maybe a 95th birthday. She was born in 1923, right? And,
wow.
And so she's still with us, but she drifts. You know how people say she's come and go, right? And as I'm sitting with her. She said, close the door over there. So I said, Grammy, what door? She said, close the gate. I said, what gate? She said, don't be, and she cussed me, right? So she said, the gate behind you. So I said, Grammy, is Peter at this gate? She said, oh, Jesus. Peter is not at the gate. This is not the gate of heaven. So I said, Lord, I don't want my mind drift like this. And today you're talking to me about getting into music and getting into those things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Roll. He's here talking to us about the Barak School of Music located in Palmdale. The numbers that you can call today, 323-5907, 323-5907 from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. He's in there. My brother. Thank you so very kindly. You see, you put your song playing in the background. You're a good, decent man. I appreciate you, eh?
Thank you very much, Thomas. God bless you.
God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much. Guys, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to be a part of Small Business Thursday and find out more about how you can be able to get your products, like I said, off the shelves and your service in their hearts, those persons' hearts, the thousands and thousands of persons that are listening to us right now, please give me a call, 827-0111, 827-0111, or give us a call here at the studio, 302-2300, 302-2300. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this. It was not a mercy. Brought me through.
Where would I be? Say it again. Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app. Available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with Move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. If you have information or products that encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle. One smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant, does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Foundation. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this Small Business Thursday. I don't know if you're indifferent about it. Howard, I just don't want to hear all these things. Why does it sound like this? Why does it sound channel, the QVC channel? Come on, man. Let's just shoot straight. Let me tell you where this idea was birthed for me. This idea was birthed. It was a twofold idea. You remember Dazzy and I were sitting here some years back in the middle of the pandemic. Only Dazzy and I was in there. No one, I mean, the place was, when we drive on the road, it was just dust, right? And we come to the radio every single morning for 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're here in the studios and we're doing everything. And then Dazzy took a time off, right? And when she took time off, I started to kind of drive, you know, I'm in the city here by myself, and I'm driving around and I'm looking around and I'm saying, oh my God, these businesses can't be making no money. I mean, you got to pay your rent. You got to pay this. You got to pay that. Employees have lost business. You can do this. You can do that. How you can find yourself? Because I know about small business. I know about small business that after you put all your money into your product, after you fix up your place so it can be decent enough for people to walk inside, I know about this. You do not have enough money for your marketing. Because, you know, sometimes it's neglected. Between marketing and training, and sometimes these things are neglected. And you hope everything else falls in place. You hope that it you know, kind of captivates the minds and the ideas of people that they want to run in the door and just purchase your products and whatnot. But it doesn't always happen like that. People know where you are. I'm telling you, I had a whole business, and I could not afford one of the billboard signs that I needed. I just couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it. I had to pay my employees. I had to buy a product. I had to do this. I had to do that. I just couldn't afford it. And it placed me at a disadvantage. People didn't even know where the hell my place was. Howard, where your place is? Oh, on the side of the tree right there, where you turn the tree. This, I couldn't afford it. So how do we get your products into the minds of people? All this came to mind. How can I help my community? That's what this is. And if you appreciate it, then you know what to do. Move towards it. If you understand business, then move towards it. If you don't, if you're only on the fringes and the outskirts, and you're only on the outside looking in, don't understand the complexity and the difficulty associated with small business, then I know you don't have an appreciation for it. Because you don't even stop at these small business stores. Learn to stop. But the people can't stop until you tell them what in your store. Nothing I hate more. You only get bleach and soap and two washing powder on your store. Everything else empty. What you open for? You could sell these out your car. But for those of you who have real products, who are pushing things out, who can do some stuff like that, who are looking to kind of revamp their business, who are trying to renew, revive, restore, and find yourself in a better position, do that with me. 827-0111, 827-0111. Push past this foolishness. Push past the idea of, I ain't got it right now. Oh, when I got it, Howard, I could stop it. I have crafted this thing, much to the disdain of those persons in sales, right here at The Guardian, saying to me, Jesus, Howard, you're shooting yourself in your foot. Man, how we can make any money off of this? This Guardian, you know, what do you think this is? I accept those things, but all in an effort to be able to help right where we can. This is the people station. This is the station that persons run into for real news, smart talk all day. This is what you do. You got your stuff locked on here. Come on, man. Do some stuff with us, guys. We're going to take this quick commercial break for news.
and get right back to it. We're going to talk about my very good cousin is going to be calling us and not talking about the legality of it. He's not going to be talking to us about the legality and whether or not there should be a move to be able to decriminalize medicinal marijuana, but talking to us about the business aspect. I'm interested in knowing about that. I'm hoping that you are. I want you to give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you want to be a part of this thing, 827-0111. Take this quick commercial break for news and be right back after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company with the foundation on this beautiful Thursday. I don't know. I mean, you see me kind of, let me tell you something. This thing running through my head right now. They find the fellow already, right, who made the calls. And then what did you call from, a rotary phone? I mean, what are you doing out here in 2023? Who even calls these things? Can't you be like normal people and put your threats online? Stop it. What are you doing? Who makes these direct telephone? Oh, my God. This is wild what is happening in the country. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to leave all this information to have a conversation about it tomorrow. I tell you, I see Michael Pintard in his particular capacity as leader for the Free National Movement kind of ramping up some stuff and having conversations. We ain't talking about that today. It's interesting, to say the least. It is interesting. I'm interested in how some things are going. Strategic, these things have happened. How we've seen the PRP take on a position where their reaction has placed them in a position where they have to kind of set some things straight, and the Free National Movement jumping to the opportunity. This is interesting. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. That line's going to be wide open tomorrow. We're going to have a good conversation about those things. I think that we have scheduled Sawyer Boy to kind of come in for a portion to talk about some stuff that he's going to be doing over the holiday weekend, some love stuff. I think. So I'll just call him to kind of confirm that. If not, you know, the line's going to be wide open to have this kind of a conversation tomorrow. But, hey, listen, we're talking small business today. Today is Small Business Thursday, and we've taken that kind of a time to really identify some small businesses, and not just strategically talking about small businesses. We can talk about the concept of small business. I want to, as time progresses, to have an opportunity to be able to talk to other persons who've developed and been able to be instrumental in the construction, the maintenance, the sort of small businesses, and expanding those businesses into formidable, established businesses for growth in the country. And having those structures. One of the things that we've been talking about over the past few years in the country is moving away from tourism, which I think is wild. That's just my personal view. And not necessarily, the conversation wasn't, let's move away from tourism. It's, let's look for another industry, another global industry that we can move towards and make some things happen, right? And for many, that has been medicinal cannabis, right? It has been, and I say medicinal, but from a United States, from a international perspective, let's do that, let's be decent. From an international perspective, we're seeing persons still go from personal commercial consumption, medicinal. The values differentiate depending on the state that you're in, the space that you're in, so forth and so on.
But it doesn't negate or take away from the fact is a boom that's happening with medical marijuana. We've been having conversations about it home for a long time. We've been talking about its legality. We've been talking about expunging records. We've been talking about dismissing small portions and small amounts of persons who've been able to have the substance, and kind of just being able to kick them off the records. A lot of this is clogging up the court system. We've been talking about the legality and fixing it from that perspective. But have we really been able to talk about the business of it? The different levels that you can be able to go. A lot of persons just see this as one arm, one avenue, one, you know, just one thing. Oh, we're selling dope. But no one has really dived into, hey, listen, there is soil, the production of soil. There is packaging. There's this, there's that. There's so many different avenues that you can get into for get your stuff moving. And I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about how this is happening, what's happening with this globally, in comparison or in contrast to what we're doing locally, whether or not we're back behind the ball again, or whether or not we're in good position to see us move forward. On the phone with me, I'm sort of Skyping in all the way from Oakland, California, is none other than Elliot Marshall Hepburn, who is the proprietor of Proper RX out there in Oakland, California. He's been on the all of my platforms. I tell you this, my good cousin. I'm not afraid to kind of say that to you. What are you always being cousin on? Hey, listen, if you had a cousin who does these things, you do the same thing. Be of yourself, right? So we're going to be talking with him today. Elliot, if you're on with us, my brother, how you doing today? You on with us?
I am. How goes it?
I'm good, my brother. What's happening with you?
I'm hanging in. Another day. I'll give thanks.
Well, I know that you're 3 hours behind, so this may be a little earlier in the day for you. But I appreciate you kind of being able to call us in and really being able to be in this conversation with us today. We wanted to know a little bit more. We wanted to know a little bit more of not, because we've been talking about the legality. We've been talking about the decriminalization. We've been talking about the value from a medicinal standpoint for a long time. But have we really been able to break down the concept and idea of the business arm of what medicinal cannabis or cannabis as a whole can mean for the country? Introduce yourself to those who may not necessarily know you. They should know you by now, but introduce yourself to them and talk about your business.
Local product from Grand Bahama, more specifically 8 Mile Rock. And, you know, I've been in the cannabis industry, I think this is my 14th year. And we have endeavored to expand and, you know, just become a real viable figure in the industry. I've also tried to agitate for the possibilities in our country to just create opportunity for everybody. Not only from an economic standpoint, but just having more medical options on the table for us as well. So it's been an expansive and long road, but that's what I've done. I have a delivery, manufacturing, and distribution license in Oakland. And up in Humboldt County, I have a retail and delivery location that on the 14th of February will be celebrating its 30th.
So I'd like to know from you, because we are the radio now, so I can talk to you in decency and order, but I'd like to know from you. We know that you've been contributing and really being able to help locally with this sort of a concept of structuring the idea to see us move towards medicinal cannabis and do some stuff like that. I don't know whether or not those efforts have kind of died down with the transition of one administration to another, or whether or not we should expect it to ramp up in due time and due season. But I want to talk to you about business perspective, the business arm of it. When a lot of persons see this, they only see this as dope running. They see this as just moving, kind of breaking up the things and selling it out. Tell us about the intimacy of what goes into the preparation, because this is not just for medicinal purposes. So tell us about what really goes into it in terms of preparation, in terms of distribution, how many persons you'd have to hire, how can you can find sustainability in this particular product to shift or even look at an industry such as this to see persons making money here locally?
Well, I mean, the viability is really obvious at this point now for anyone looking. For example, when I started really agitating home maybe 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, the industry here in California specifically was about 90% independent owned and about 10% corporate. At this current iteration of it, it is about 90% corporate and about 10% independent now. It's really? Completely flipped.
Really?
Yes, it's completely flipped. And the majority of the companies that are in and coming in are all, if not publicly traded companies, corporate cannabis companies.
But this will only be because of the value that it offers. There could only be an expectation to be able to see growth in this industry if corporations are actually being able to buy into this. So tell me this, and I don't want to take the comments because it's always interesting to really talk about this. Are we too late?
I wouldn't say we're too late. I definitely think the window is not much of a window, but we aren't too late because of the research possibilities in our country, the export possibilities in our country. But at the time when we come in, it might not be monetarily attainable for a lot of behemoths. Because it's you know, even 5 years ago, the industry started in 1996 here in California with medical, and it's expanded throughout the country since. So, you know, it's just... It's expanded in California and it's became a lot more, I mean, it's expanded in America and became a lot more mainstream, but there is still not easy avenues to research or clear cut avenues to research, you know, a lot of things like that, that we have head starts on. And of course we have our location with Discern to be able to produce on large scales. But, you know, it is a smaller window. Definitely a tougher playing field.
I want you to give me some more insight into the various divisions or the subsectors of what medicinal cannabis is and what it can be. You just started to talk about research and export opportunities that exist locally. Give me some other divisions that are concentrated in this industry that we can sort of look forward to or that exist that we can possibly prepare ourselves to get involved in.
I mean, the farming and the cultivation, that's our natural advantage. You know, anything around cultivation and manufacturing is a natural advantage we have. And then even on the retail side with the amount of tourists we have coming to our shores. But then you factor in, more importantly, just the medical components and the medical possibilities when you're able to do true research. It's a very... difficult and expensive task here in this country, and a very small group of people are allowed to do it.
Tell me more about the research, Elliot. Tell me more about, this should be cut and dry. You come here, you get your marijuana, and that's it. Tell me about what do you mean by research for all those persons listening in?
Because this product is in its transitional phase. It's going from, you know, in 96, even up until 2010, 2012, it was just literally in the flower form or in the edible form only that it was available. It's now transitioned into pill form, inhalers. You know, there's a real push to figure out cannabis alternative to the opioid. It's a lot of possibilities for it. I mean, really understanding terpenes and what the terpenes do to assist in fighting cancer or assisting with autism or other ailments that we deal with. So it's countless avenues that still need to be researched, but because of the prohibition U.S., it's never really been researched on a large scale, especially in this part of the world.
So over the past 8 to maybe let's call it 10, 11 years, there has been sort of this boom from a research standpoint to say, wow, look at the possibilities and how we can package this and how we can deliver this. Because I know at one point people like, I don't want to smell like that. I don't want to inhale it. The carcinogens may not necessarily be good as a smoker, but I want to be able to get the effect. I don't want the THC. I want the CBD. I want. So talk to me. All of this falls under research.
Yeah. And you have cannabis pharmaceutical companies that have products that are sold and at pharmacies across the world. So you know it's a big industry. It's not the joke of it is gone. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. But a lot of the research is still yet to be done, and that will open up more possibilities within itself.
Do you believe that this arm, this research arm, could exist in our country? I mean, I'm not talking to a foreigner here. You know, the national average that continues to be able to spread over the newspapers during that time has been kind of teetering around a C minus, and that's just me being decent, and a D for a very long time. Do you believe that, not necessarily the exception, do you believe as a rule that we as a people can be prepared to kind of deal with this arm of research and really break it down to find out other possibilities and contribute globally to what this offers?
I mean, if ours is the C average or whatever the rhetoric is around that, I mean, most of our students, including myself, when we come over here for high school, for example, they want to put us up a grade or two. So that's what I encountered. I tested in the 10th grade, going into the 10th grade there, and they wanted to put me in the 12th grade, and I came in January. So I would have graduated in 6 months. You know, so if we are C minus, I'm not sure what it is here, because we excel over here most of the time. So if we're capable of it, of course, why, we're just as capable as anyone else who's doing it. We have the same skills and gifts and talents. So it's science, and we do rocket science as well as a thing. So, I mean, there's nothing that's out there that's so unattainable in knowledge or understanding that we can't do it, you know? It's just asserting yourself, and that's what the direction you want to go, making it happen.
Let's talk about export. Let's talk about the concept and idea that exists for export. A lot of persons want to be able to find out what are the possibilities. You know, Juan McCartney and I, when I sat with him and we started to talk about medicinal cannabis or cannabis as a whole and being able to do it, break it down in those areas, there was always this idea that we'll always be the service. This service arm will be the only thing that exists for us to move forward to. And the idea was is that we don't want to come into the industry so late that the only thing that we can do is just export and not be able to create an environment for the experience, create an environment for persons to know that we have our own strain, our own brand, our own this, our own that. Tell me about the export arm and how that works.
Well, you have all of the different countries that, like you take Canada, for example. Canada is a very cold place. You know, they're very north, so they don't have the seasons that we have in terms of temperature. And it's not as long as we have. So their growing window is very short. And outdoor production is really the backbone of being able to have a sustainable industry. That's how you can really get a real large manufacturing foothold that allows you to produce a lot of products. Our location is prime for that. So, you know, you have countries that need product, you know, because they can't meet their... Over time, you'll see those international guidelines change for more and more places. But there are places that are importing right now, receiving exports. Here in the U.S., they're approaching, you know, interstate commerce, you know, California products weren't legally allowed to be shipped and sold in another state. And they're in the process of changing that. So over the next couple of years, we'll start to see interstate commerce here And once that's hammered out and done, the next step is export for this country.
How do you feel about? and I think that this question is important. The reason is because we are in our 50th year, right? So as we move towards our 100 year anniversary, we're midway. And you would have been here 25 years ago. You would have been here 30 years ago. And we've all sort of imagined what this country could be at our 50th anniversary. And so we're here. We still haven't really been able to tackle some stuff. And so the question that I have for you is that over the past 5 years, this idea of structuring an organization or structuring or enlightening the community to understand exactly what not marijuana or dope is, but medicinal cannabis and its value. You've wrestled with tradition. Whilst it may have yielded in one way or the other, tell me whether or not you see a ripe environment prepared to not only accept and understand, but help grow and mature this medicinal cannabis here in the country.
I don't think there's a lack of desire in the country amongst the populace. I mean, we have overwhelming support for it, even from mission prior when my organization, we did the polling. You have two polls where we polled in upwards of 70%. I don't think there's a lack of desire within the country. I think there's a lack of desire probably politically, but not within the country.
Mm-hmm. From a political standpoint, that's where you've been getting your pushback.
I wouldn't say that I've gotten my pushback there, but I would just say that is the only obstacle that I've seen, especially for the medical. I mean, if you're talking about medicinal and being able to create products and have products available to the sick and those who need it, all of those provisions were in the report that we released. The support was there. It polled over 70%. I remember someone asked me, how do we get this, the 70% is good, but how do we get it to 100%? And I was like, where on earth does anything poll at 100%?
Yeah.
The threshold.
I don't get 100% consensus really, in my house.
The threshold is, I guess the measuring stick varies. But I don't think that there's a lack of desire for the opportunity and the economics of it or the medical benefits of it. I don't think there's a lack of desire anywhere for that right now in our country that's beyond the desire for.
Paul, I want to talk to you about a phased approach, whether or not we can see something starting in the short term, medium term, and long term. But I see a call holding. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Turn on your volume. Go ahead.
Yeah. You can hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Let me give my point of view on how this should go. This country and lots of countries in this region have been dealing for participating and enjoying a natural product. And it should not be left now for a handful of people to own the industry, whether it's individuals, companies or corporations. It should be 51%, and I'm not the best.
You broke up, cousin. No. You say you're not the best what?
I'm not the best supporter of Lincoln base.
Okay.
But when it's national resource and national provocation towards we owning a lot of stuff, I think marijuana should be one of those products that the population benefit the greatest income from. We have marginalized a lot of young people in this country for arresting them for marijuana usage. Mm-hmm. Put that money towards help them battle healthcare and the economy into Bahamas pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's my point of view on how this industry should do.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. Thank you for your contribution, guys. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 323-623-2325-4316, 325-4259, or hit us up on the text line, 1-800-422-4796. I don't want to make it a debate about our position from a legality standpoint, an ownership standpoint, or even from a decriminalization standpoint. But I just wanted to know more about the business. Because there's a lot of persons out there that can't see themselves in this business. They associate this with the business that we've seen over the years and how people kind of, drug pushers and hiding from the laws. And it's been underground for a long time. But we've now seen Priest Rittman and God bless his soul, being able to explain to us the value, even from a spiritual standpoint, of what this product is being used for. We've now, with research, with access, with opportunities to be able to dive into it with our phones, been able to understand that this product can yield us even more. And so this is what we're having a conversation about. Do we see ourselves in research? Do we feel as though we're educated enough to find ourselves in research? The 5,000-some students that's coming out of school right now, this year, including my son, Destin, coming out of school, Elliot, right? The 5,000 kids that are going to be coming out of school, is there an opportunity in this industry, in the event that there's, license distribution and, the government kind of signs off on it, is there an opportunity for them right now? Boom, that's what I want to know. Is there an opportunity from farming perspective? We have not pushed agriculture. We've been told tourism is our number one industry, and then we get fishing and agriculture. But we have not been pushing this concept and idea of agriculture. A lot of people have been lopsided and sending their kids to work to the hotel or work to the bank, but moving their kids away from, child, you got to dirty up your hand. That's for them other people from the South. That's from these people. We don't do that anymore. But this is a major industry, and this is where the world is moving back to. People are always having conversation about organic foods, right? They want to know, how do we go from farm to plate? How do we do these particular things? And this offers us those opportunities. Do we see ourselves in those spaces? And that's the kind of conversation that we're having with you today. You talked to us also about, talk to us about the farming and the cultivation. This is naturally where we've come. We grew up on an area where we always saw potum. We had hog, we had this, we had that. We had all these animals. Grammy had 11,000 mango and sour tree and so forth and so on in the yard. But things have changed over the years. Do you believe that there could be a resurgence, if we see value in this moving forward?
I mean, definitely. It's more opportunity. We have the potential, just for example, we take, we create a strain that's called, we purchase a strain that's called Sky Blue, just a random name I made up, Sky Blue. So we grow that strain, we send that strain to Abaco, and they grow that strain in Abaco. Send it to Freeport, they grow it in Freeport. Send it to Nassau, send it down to Eleuther. All those places grow that same strain. That one strain that they all grew that came from the same mother or the same plant will manifest differently on each one of those islands, because everything is different on each one of those islands, mm-hmm. from the spectrum of the sun to temperature to soil. So everything is different. So the possibilities are endless. And with each one of those different manifestations, you have a different terpene profile that will be unique, a signature to that location. Nowhere else in the world would they be able to produce it like that.
I want to read a couple of texts. So, a couple of people sending texts. I won't be able to read a few things to you so you can see exactly what's said. And in the minds of people, none of these good things will ever happen. None. It was the same talk with gaming about how it would help all Bahamians and create so many opportunities for young men and contribute so much to the economy. What it is actually done is created a new generation of addicts, cause blight, I suppose this is bright, in the inner city, and made 8 men richer. Wow. We hear a lot of this, Elliot. There is a fear, and I think that's what the caller was actually indicating.
there is a fear of a monopoly being created, even in this new industry. There is a fear that we don't see sort of the liberty and access opportunity and that swift movement by government simply because there is this possibility, allegation, speculations that certain administrations or persons thereof may be holding off to take care of this person, that person, or the other. We need true liberty in these areas. And so the question that I have for you is that beyond the license, beyond holding the license itself, right? Let's just say hypothetically, the government manifests 15 licenses. Beyond holding the licenses itself, are there opportunities for entrepreneurs to be able to get in the industry as suppliers, as this, as that, even beyond being able to do those things?
I mean, if they have access to funding, anything's a possibility in our space. That is my constant battle as a minority in the industry, and as a minority owner in the industry, even more so now in terms of the fact that I'm an independent owner and not a part of a corporation. Access to funding makes this conversation happen. So for anyone who, if the opportunity was to come to the country and they have access to funding, yes, they can make this happen. At this point in the industry, if you don't have access to funding, it is excessively hard, excessively hard, stressful, you know, and unattainable. You know, I was fortunate when I got in. It cost me vastly, you know, the amount I paid for a license in 2009 compared to what I paid in 2018, you know, dramatically different, you know, and now, you know, I'm competing against not another independent owner as it's been traditionally, but I'm competing in a traded company or multiple
publicly
traded companies.
You're among the 10% ownership now where, you know, the spectrum has been shifted or flipped on its head, where it was 90% ownership that you talked about by independence, but now it's only 10%. So you're still a part of the 10%.
Yep.
And you don't see the value in being able to kind of give opportunity to those persons who want to be able. I'm sure corporations have said, hey, Mr. Hepburn, we want to be able to buy into your stuff. I'm sure. What keeps you sort of stiff neck and stepping back and say, hey, listen, I don't want to get into that?
Knowing my value, knowing what I built. And yeah, I've had scenarios that have come across my desk like that for sure. But not obviously not anything that I was impressed with.
Wow. Well, hold on.
I was impressed with, because that's not their goal. And to be quite honest, most of the scenarios that I've seen were like stock heavy. So they offered you a lot of stock in their public company. And, you know, so it's like, you know, it hasn't been anything that's really been of desire to me. I've enjoyed the fight. I've enjoyed the struggle. You know, I enjoy being independent. When I find the right scenario,
you jump on it.
I'll jump on it when I find the right scenario.
Stick with me for two more seconds so we can be able to do this before we get out of here. I want to talk a little bit more about it. I'm sure persons want to kind of call in 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Hit us up on the text line 422-4796. This is Howard Grant with the Foundation right here, 96.9 FM radio on a Thursday, Small Business Thursday. I want you guys to be a part of the conversation. We just our position, how we can get into these particular businesses. If it's too big for us or if we're ready for it, we're talking with none other than Elliot Marshall Hepburn, all the way from Oakland, California. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The Foundation.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service within our
Champion since 1990. J.A.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Introducing
the new tortilla lime crunch chicken sandwich from Wendy's.
And I have a little bit of everything. Avocado, taco mayo, pickles, and crunchy tortillas on top of a delicious breaded chicken filet. Yes, add our all-new Dave's Craft Lemonade to your combo. Wendy's, different inside and out.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is 96.9 FM Radio, Guardian Radio, with Howard Grant right here on the foundation, being able to chop down some things for you. We're talking good, man. We're really talking good. I got a text today, and the texter told me, Howard, don't call my name, right? They hit me on the 827-0111, but it asks, and Elliot Marshall Hepburn is with us, really being able to talk about the value and the business opportunities that exist within, not necessarily the legality and whether or not it's legal, whether or not it's decriminalized, but really talking about the business aspect and the business arm of what medicinal cannabis can bring for us here in the country. And so there's a texter, Elliot, he's still with us, right? He's still with us? I can't hear him.
I'm here.
Okay, no problem, right? So it says, there's a texter that just texted in, right? He says, will the legalization of marijuana take the money out of the hands of drug lords? This is an idea. Let's frame it in the sort of the layout of the conversation. The idea is that there needs to be ample opportunities for all and sundry. We recognize that the top tier persons who have the finance could find themselves in a position to be able to yield a greater, to get more, right? As in terms of profit, right? Okay, that's no problem. But it should not take away from the small man who wants to be able to do the products. Okay, maybe I could just do the bags. Maybe I could just be able to do the plant, the boxes for it. Maybe I could do something with the soil. Maybe I could open up my small export company. Maybe I could be able to send my kids off to do some research and to learn about the research and the value of these particular things. The question is that will this, the legalization of this marijuana or the cannabis, would it take the money out of the hands of the underworld and those particular persons and really put it out here to legitimize and afford opportunity for all and sundry out here on the surface? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't control what the perspective of legislation that government will take. But what would be is I would prefer for those that, like how similar to how they've done it here. You have people that were marginalized by being targeted for cannabis and had records, whether they were selling small amounts or possession. It's an opportunity to take them out of the dark and bring them into the light, give them legitimacy. They could work in a legitimate industry and do right by themselves and their family and their community. So it's an opportunity to legitimize them, because ultimately, just like how the Rastafarians have dealt with it, they have bared the brunt of it. They have been the people who have suffered the most
in this
war on drugs.
No pun intended. Yeah, they have bared the brunt of it. Okay. No pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended. They have. They, you know, they've been arrested, you know, and for decades. This is what has happened to them as well. So should they be left out? You know, I don't see it that way. It's an opportunity for, if it's thought through well. There should be opportunities for some of the folks that have been in that illegal sector to come out of the illegal sector and come into the legal sector.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about
that. Would be more beneficial, I feel.
Let me read one or two of these texts and see exactly what's what. Guys, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please give me a call. Before we get out of here, you know, we only got like 10 or 12 minutes before we can do that. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit us up on the text, 422-4796. It's still a Small Business Thursday. I know you want to be able to dive deeper into these conversations. You really want to touch the legality of it. You really want to talk about the enforcement aspect of these particular things, but I just want to know about the business, Small Business Thursday. But there's a text that came through. I want to read that. It says, Howard, it's sad to say that the cannabis industry will end up just like the carbon credits and the aragonite. If we don't get rid of the POP and the FAs have been stolen from us. That's a text that actually came through. Let's see if we can read another one. It says, hey, Howard, I have a lot of respect for this gentleman, but I feel his frustration with the government dragging their feet on this cannabis issue. The stigma that has been attached to marijuana use has disappeared in almost all civilized countries. The Bahamas has an ulterior motives for cannabis use. In this country, they want doctors and pharmacies making all the money, while people who fought for this for decades are overlooked and will be customers instead of employers. Mm-hmm. So he says, tell your guests he is competing with Snoop Dogg and all. Wow, this is heavy. Now, this sort of a thing, there is a fear. I might as well tell you the truth. There is a fear. There is a subconscious idea that suppresses the potential that exists in our people. There is the idea that says, this ain't for us. That's for them, not for us. And even though there's been great agitation and there's sort of an idea that, because I tell you, you know that, Priest Rittman and Priest Blyden and a great deal of the Rastafarian community would come here and start to talk about the fact, and they've been on all my platforms, they start to talk about the fact that Rasta have been suppressed and sort of targeted for this. They were marginalized and targeted for this use for years. And now, in this decade, we're having conversation of transitioning that, and they're being left of the conversation. So how do we, right, from a business perspective, how do we shore up ourselves that as we move forward, we could be able to say that we're going to get a piece of the pie? Is that only through legislation, or should there be more sort of social agitation to find your space in this whenever we move to legality?
I mean, you could agitate as much as you want. You know, I mean, I did it for 5 years straight. You know, it's the decision lies with government and their desire or lack of desire to move. It doesn't, you know, it's at their point. And I know, from what I've heard, I think they're doing some things in reference to that. I don't know how far along that process is or if it will ever be done. You know, we went through a whole administration that it never happened in, and we did a lot. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. I can't honestly say. I do hope that we do get a chance and have the opportunity that other countries have.
Let me ask you this question before we get out of here, because they're going to have to be able to let you go real soon. And I see more texts coming through. But before I do that, let me ask you this question. As it relates to our position, as it relates to what we're seeing from a social perspective and our governments, successive administration identifying these things, but not really moving swiftly to incorporate it or even have conversations about it, what can the average citizen do? In terms of preparing themselves, because I feel like this is inevitable. In one space or another, there is going to be a sense of inevitability. How do persons prepare themselves, educate themselves, and just sit and wait for this thing to kind of happen? What should they do?
I mean, that's, just read and immerse themselves in the industry as best they can, there are opportunities online to see, to get a snapshot of what's going on. I've been wanting to do some type of like an externship where I'm able to bring people from home here for a few months and, get them immersed in different aspects of the industry and, do some type of certification or something. But it's something that I've wanted to do, but it's just, I haven't been able to because there hasn't been a clear timetable, time frame that we're actually working with. And, and I'm also in a major fight myself, the fact that it shifted so much, that means it requires that much more attention from me every day to make sure that we exist, because more and more that 10% isn't like a set 10 that's shrinking every day as more myself. Either close or sell to the big companies.
Mm. So I'd like to hear more about this, Elliot. We always talk about it from a personal perspective and talk about the business that exists in those areas and what could happen for ourselves as individuals, for our family, for legacy and being able to move on like that, which is always great. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to know about preparation. I believe that, preparation plus opportunity, success is inevitable. And I believe that whilst we've been, as a people, been having conversations about all manner of things, not just medicinal cannabis, all manner of things we've been talking about, are we truly prepared? Let's talk about more workshops. Let's talk about more seminars. Let's talk about a unique perspective of being able to create TED Talks or a concept like TED Talks that can be accessed from a particular platform locally to really be able to talk about these things and prepare our citizens to move in the next dispensation, in the next 50 years to find a true sense of growth. So I want to say that to you, man. I believe that we have the wherewithal to do it. The technology is available to us. You got the insight, the knowledge, the experience. Let's see if we can capture that and make some things happen to really prepare our country to move to a next tier.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always open to trying to pass on, my experiences and, try and get us into this industry as much as possible. We have a couple Bahamian brands that I've started in partnership with local Bahamians. We have Junkanoo Farms and Clutch Bahama. They both have been launched here in the U.S. By Bahamians. So, we're looking at all of those avenues, any way that makes sense to, get as much of us into the interest in it now. So when it comes, we're not so far behind the ball.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot of opportunities. People can feel free to reach out if anyone want to come out and see.
You want to put your numbers in your website? Put your numbers in your website out there or give me something so I can give to persons who call me.
The best way to get me is by email through the company. You could do properrx@gmail.com. Attention, Elliot. That's probably the best way to reach me. It's an exciting industry. And, like I said, I hope it does get home and the opportunity comes equally. That's what makes the most sense. Mm-hmm.
My brother, I want to thank you so very kindly for taking your time out to talk about this. I know that you've been talking about this. I'm hoping that your enthusiasm hasn't diminished over the years. Sometimes it's a fight and feel like you're going up a smooth hill. And every time you get to a pinnacle, you slide back down. But, you know, I know that you're passionate about this. And I know that the Bahamian people are listening to you. So I thank you for your contribution and sort of the information that you continue to be able to yield and give up freely of your time and of your information. Thank you so much, my brother.
Yeah, not a problem. My passion ain't going nowhere. I mean, that's still home, and that's where I want to be. So the passion intact, you know, we'll be doing our best. You know, we'll be doing our best.
Okay, my brother, thank you so kindly. Guys, I thank you for being able to be a part of the conversation today on Small Business Thursday. I'm hoping that it is giving you some insight to what is being offered, and that is what Small Business Thursday is going to be going forward, an educational session, maybe even a workshop, maybe a seminar, maybe something like that to make you to understand the opportunities that exist in these particular spaces. I want to talk more about customer service. I want to talk about your business, your product, your preparation. I want to talk about these particular things. How do we get into this, including talking about your service that you offer and your products? All of these things, we're going to take the time out, carve this little space out for you to be able to have that conversation. I'm hoping that you enjoyed this conversation today. I'm hoping that you sort of have gotten into it. I've spoken with my very good friend. I'm talking about very good friend, Ambassador Devin Rowe, to talk about his business at the Barack School right there in Palmdale, and Elliot Marshall Hepburn talking about the business arm and the business aspect of what medicinal cannabis can mean and bring for the Bahamas. Let's read another text before we get out of here. It says, one of the ones, when the ones who fought for this years and years now, it's about to happen. How certain is it that the small man who fought for it is guaranteed and even get a business license to be a part of the industry? I don't know if we're ready for this kind of conversation. For me to be able to get a license in my car, I had to go through a process. For me to be able to get a license in my car, I had to be able to ensure that I could learn how to drive. There was a rule, a regulation book for me to follow these things, to understand the, you know, how to navigate on the road, so forth and so on. And while you're just casually having a conversation about business license, only here we do that. You give a distribution, a business license, and for you to be able to get in that business, you had to show no qualifications. But for this industry, if this is going to be able to represent the entire country, you have to have some sense of preparation, certification, experience, exposure, gone almost like hours, in my mind, hours of community service of sorts, just to show people that I'm ready for this particular thing. I can give you a quality subject, product. I can do this at the highest tier. You're dealing with people's lives. You're dealing with these things. You got to know about the soil that you're putting in, all these things. So whilst we're just having a conversation about licensing, are you ready to really push this thing? Let's just talk about it like that. And we're having good conversations, guys. I want to thank you all so much, man. Guys, if you want to be a part of Small Business Thursday, if you want me to be able to put a commercial together for you, if you want to hear your 30-second commercial on here, this is affordable. This is something that you can do. I want you to be a part of it. The numbers that you can call, 827-0111, 827-0111, or you can definitely be able to give me a call. Give us a call here at 302-2300, 302-2300. The bookings are going up, 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 up. I might as well tell you, I'm excited about it. I'm happy for it, but I want this to be for small businesses. A lot of corporations are getting in here, and I'm really grateful for that, but there is a space for you. Guys, please give us a call. I thank you so very kindly for being able to be a part of the conversation today. 96.9 FM Radio. Guardian Radio with Howard Grant right here on The Foundation. Guys, you're going to see you tomorrow. It's going to be an open line. Have a great conversation available for you, ready for you. I tell you, I got to get into this. I will know what Michael Pinton had a conversation about. I will know whether or not the tides have turned and some things have shifted with the PLP. I want to know. Let's get into it on The Foundation. Guys, please stick and stay for Chivago Lang right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 with Z Live right after this. Have a beautiful day, guys.
The Foundation.